Hey everyone, it is Sean and we are back today with a very special guest of mine, a friend of mine, Mr. Stan Smith, who is the, what is your position, so I don't mess it up?
I'm the coordinator for the Sons of Allen Men's Ministry of the 6th Episcopal District AME Church, State of Georgia.
That's too much of a title for me to have.
Well, a lot of people say president, but actually the coordinator, and we are the official men's ministry of the AME Church.
So that's what I have you here to talk to about, man. As you know, we've been doing a barbershop tour, going around the state, talking to different people about barbershops, about different things that affect the black male, right? What are some of the things that you've been finding recently, too, when you talk about the black male and the race of the black male and some of the issues that we have in the black community? What are some of the issues that you've been finding?
Well, it's a variety of things, man. Black men are still targeted because, you know, they don't want black men to come together, because if black men ever came together, we could be really powerful. And a lot of folks that don't trust black men. So what we've got to do is come together as black men and get back to our old roots of things we used to do as far as providing for our families and kind of staying together as husbands and wives and raising our boys into men. So we're still facing unequal employment, the education challenges, because, you know, everybody's not meant to go to college. And they took a lot of the trades out of the high schools and a lot of trades out of the technical schools. So black men, when we was growing up, you had a lot of black men that was brick masons and plumbers and electricians and all that stuff, because you could go to trade school. Even if you was not college eligible, you could go to trade school to learn how to make a living doing a trade. And we need to get back to that. So black men are being challenged education-wise, employment-wise, and still a lot of targeting as far as race in America.
And when you talk about education, one of the things that I think about when I think about education, I think that one of the biggest hurdles for the black male is the criminal justice system, because a lot of resources that you need to even get education, definitely a second level of education, they're opted out from because you have a record, or because of the fact that you have been to jail.
And that's on purpose. And I tell the young people, try not to get on paper, because once you get on paper, it's going to eliminate a lot of things. Try to keep your credit straight, because now to get a decent job, you know, you have to have decent credit, because they run your credit. To get a good job, you have to not have a record. Even like with the state of Georgia, when I was doing corrections, if you had three or more misdemeanors, and that misdemeanor is a speed ticket, they did not have to hire you. You know, if you had three or more in a certain amount of time. So try not to get on paper. And the way society is now, with the discipline thing, a lot of kids are out of control, because you can't discipline like you used to. When I was growing up, you could get a whooping in the whole neighborhood. If you did something wrong on one street, you would get a whooping on that street. And by the time you got home, the call had been made, and you got another one when you got home. But now, by them not being able to discipline their kids the way that they're needed, a lot of kids are out of control.
So you trying to say basically we've lost that it takes a village to raise a child mentality?
Yeah. Yes, people don't want you even saying anything to their kids. You know, I was telling a lady one day, I think I was at Walmart, and she was handling the child kind of rough. And she said, "This is my child, you don't tell me what to do." I said, "Ma'am, you're right, that's your child. But if you shake that child one more time, I'm just going to call 911, because you're hurting that child. I know it's your child, but you don't have to handle the child that way." And, you know, so, and I might have been wrong, because it was her child, but still, she, to me, she was abusing the child. And they don't want you saying anything to them or their children. And when I was growing up, it wasn't that way.
Yeah. What is, so tell us more about the Sons of Allen, because I know, like, my uncle is AME. And he's a son of Allen, but he's in Fort Lauderdale. He's a son of Allen. He's been a son of Allen for about 5 or 7 years now.
Yeah, he's a part of the 11th Episcopal District down in the state of Florida, where Bishop Frank Madison Reed III is the bishop down there. And Reverend George Hardy is the president of the 11th Episcopal District, Sons of Allen. And the Sons of Allen is a men ministry. Our job is to bring men to Christ, unchurched men to Christ, and men that are in the church but are not a part of an active ministry. Really, every AME man, 18 years of age or older, should be and is a part of the Sons of Allen ministry. They may not be active, but they are part, official part of the AME men ministry because they are male and they're 18 years of age or above. And like I said, our job is to bring men to Christ and minister not just to their spiritual needs, but the emotional needs, health needs, and community needs as well. You know, we don't just work inside the church. We work in the communities and throughout ecumenical membership. We work with the CME Church. We work with Kojic. We work with the Baptists. We work with non-denominational men as well. So our official title is to bring men to Christ, no matter where they are. You know, we've been working with disaster relief, healthcare, with Red Cross, Alzheimer's Association, Prostate Health Education Network, Sickle Cell. We've done all of that in the last 7 years since I've been in this position, because we want to get men to understand our health is our wealth. You can have $1 million, but if you don't have good health or good health education, then the money is really not any good.
And I know Sons of Allen, because I remember my grandma, she was AME before she passed away. And the Sons of Allen used to come to her house and actually do communion and stuff with her.
And that's what we do also. We have done some community stuff. We passed out during the pandemic. We was able to feed over 10,000 people. That's just not what the AME Church. The AME Church actually fed more people. But what the Sons of Allen ministry had our hands on, we had our hands on at least 10,000 boxes of food, over 100,000 gallons of milk, what we fed people during the pandemic. So we try to get outside of the four walls. You know, we have remodeled bathrooms. We have remodeled fellowship halls. We painted churches. We've done work around the outside of the churches and all of that stuff. But our main mission is to try to get the brothers to come to church and worship the Lord, let them know that Jesus Christ is the answer. And all our worries, all our cares can be given to him, and he will look out for us.
So what does the name Sons of Allen come from?
The Sons of Allen come from Richard Allen. Richard Allen was the founder of the AME Church. The Sons of Allen came out of the Sons of David. The Sons of David started over at St. James AME Church. And Bishop Frederick Hill von Talbot and Dean Daniel Jacobs, who's a former dean of Turner Seminary, came up with the name Sons of Allen, and they took it to the General Conference and was voted on to become Sons of Allen, the men's ministry, to help bring other men to Christ and to help foster an atmosphere where men will feel comfortable coming in talking about, you know, their relationship with God, relationship with the community, relationship, whatever going on in their life. And that's how the Sons of Allen ministry started in 1984 in Nashville, Tennessee. And Dean Jacobs is still living today, and he's one of our biggest supporters. We put him in the Sons of Allen Hall of Fame a few years ago, and he was just he's a good brother. Bishop Talbot passed away a few years ago, and we went to support his funeral and his family in Nashville, Tennessee a few years ago. But we still have a lot of supporters from the Sons of Allen that are still here. Some of the original Sons of David are still alive over at St. James AME Church in Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
They're still living. And we put the Sons of David into the Hall of Fame about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. So
surviving members, and put the whole group in there.
Yeah. So it started out here in Georgia?
Started out in Georgia at St. James AME Church in Columbus, Georgia.
Wow, that's amazing. So how does it feel to be a part of something so big?
It's a challenge, man. You know, some days you get overwhelmed, and I didn't realize the position until a few years ago when I first took over. I'm so used to being involved in stuff, so it didn't really hit me until I started going to different connectional meetings and connectional conferences and really felt the effect of what the position entitles and the prestige and honor that is to have this position. You know, so yeah, it's a big deal. And I want to thank our presiding prelate, Bishop Reginald T. Jackson, for appointing me to this position. And like I said, when I took it in 2016, I didn't really realize how important it was, how significant it was for men's ministry, not just in the state of Georgia, but throughout the AME connection.
So that's, and so talking about Black men in the culture, let's go back to just like with Sons of Allen, do they allow for that open space, where a lot of times as black men, we don't have that open space to be able to talk freely and be able to talk about different things that we deal with and talk about different things that we go through. Does it allow for that?
Yes, we, you know, we have meetings and, you know, whatever. If somebody has something they want to talk to and they don't want to make it public to everybody, they can always come to me and call me. But we do have meetings, and we had our annual retreat this past Saturday down at the New Great Allen Temple AME Church in Byron, Georgia, where we shared, you know, information, health information, and survivor skills and Medicaid and different stuff. So there's always an opportunity for anyone who wants to share anything dealing with their personal life, their married life, spiritual life, or community life. Yeah, it's always open to come in and talk about that. So, and you do not have to be AME to be a part of the Sons of Allen ministry. And I can't let you hold a position of leadership, but anyone, any man 18 years of age or older can be a part of the Sons of Allen ministry.
So going back to that, and again, talking about that whole open line of communication, why do you feel like it's so much more difficult for men to be able to express themselves?
Well, because men growing up, big boys don't cry, you know, toughen up, you know, don't hold your head up. You know, we was taught to be tough growing up. So men are kind of scared to let their guard down because we don't want to be seen as weak. We don't want to be seen as soft. You know, years ago, black men really didn't find a lot of black men committing suicide because, you know, but now they do. But back then, we was taught to be tough. We didn't let our guard down. We didn't let anyone think that we were soft. So that's why it's hard for men now to let people know, hey, I get emotional. You know, one of my sons tell me, I've gotten old. I don't care what people think about me. I'm a big teddy bear, my wife calls me. Because I used to be so tough that people would be scared to even have a conversation with me. But now, as I'm getting older and, you know, have grandkids and great-grandkids, you know, I'm an emotional person. You know, one of my sons, Marcellus, tell me all the time, he said, Dad, so you got older now. He said, you cry when the wind blows. But I don't let everybody see that. I can be that around my family. I can be, a little soft around my family. But out in public, I can't show emotion because we was taught growing up that, men don't show weakness. We don't cry. We don't let our guard down. We have to be tough. And that's why, because men don't trust people. We don't want to be seen as weak. You know, that's why you can't tell everybody your business, because a lot of guys, they feel like as soon as somebody get mad with them or disagree with them, if they share something with them personal, they feel like somebody gonna tell them. So they don't, they keep a lot of things inside themselves.
But what does it do for a man when he's able to release those emotions?
It causes the release of a lot of stress and anxiety, man. You feel like you can be yourself. You know, I have people call me all the time, and whatever they tell me, they can tell me in confidence, nobody will know. I had a brother call me a few months ago, was thinking about committing suicide. And I'm like, bro, and we talk. And I try to call him once a week now, but I talked to him for about an hour that night, to kind of calm him down, say, no, this is not what you need to do. I said, girl, first of all, that's not your choice. That's God's business. I said, you're trying to do God's job. If God wanted you gone, you'd be gone. So now you're going to try to take his position and end your life, and that's not your job. Let him decide when you do that. I said, don't do that. I said, then, because you'd be hurting your wife, you'd be hurting your grandkids, your children, and everybody when it's unnecessary, because it's not your responsibility. So, and like I said, we talk once a week now just to make sure he's good. But for me personally, my dad died an old one. Let me go back a little further than that. My grandmother, who basically raised me from the time I was 15 till I joined the military, she kept me grounded. She died in 97. My father, who was one of my biggest supporters, died in 01. Grandfather died in 04. So the three people that really I knew cared about me and kept me focused and really took care of me was gone within 6 years of each other. So I had to lean on my ex-wife's father, my father-in-law, even though she and I were divorced, he was still my father-in-law. She didn't like the fact, but he and I had gotten closer. So from 2004 up until his death in 2015, that was one of my biggest supporters. Even though my wife and I were divorced, my father-in-law, Raymond Corbin, was my biggest supporter, biggest, you know, guy, you know, friend or whatever you want to call it. But I had somebody that I could go talk to about anything. And everybody needs that one person that they can go talk to, you know, to share their inner thoughts and feelings with. Everybody don't have that because everybody don't trust everybody. Because we don't want our business to get out. But sometimes you got to put that aside and say, I need somebody. You got to have at least one or two people that you can go to and trust with your feelings and your weakness and whatever is on your mind. Everybody needs at least one or two people that I can go to and say, I need to talk. Just let me vent, and I know it won't go any further. So it's hard to find, but we all need that one person.
Wow. So, and this is all stuff that you can find in the Sun. Like, this is all stuff that you guys get within Sons of Allen.
Yes, sir. We've got folks that, like I said, I've had folks that call me, man, you know, with marital problems, you know, financial problems or whatever. And it never gets out of my mouth. I never tell anybody what they call me for. And I do my best. If I can help them myself, I do. But if I can't, I can guide them to somebody that can help them. And nobody would ever know their business. Because we all need, you know, to be somebody to lean on. And, but the Sons of Allen Ministry, man, is like I say, it's, we have over 500 AME churches in Georgia. And we don't have a Sons of Allen in every church. Some of them have what they call Circus Sons of Allen. We may have three churches within 30 minutes of each other, and they can kind of, those men kind of get together and form the Circus Sons of Allen. Yeah, but we really support each other. We do a lot of mission work. We work well with the Women Missionary Society. We begin to work well with the lay organization, you know, and the CDMC and the REACT. So, yeah, it's becoming a powerful men's ministry, not just for men, but just for the AME church period.
Man, thank you for your time. Thank you for teaching us and educating us on what the Sons of Allen is. And just talking about men in general. Because I don't think that we talk enough about men and how we, the difficult things that we go through on a day-by-day basis, but how we actually push our way through it. And you said that's really critical, that everybody needs that one person.
You gotta have somebody that you can bet to, man. Because if we don't, we hold it in. And then it creates stress, heart attacks, strokes, heavy headaches all day long because you want to hold everything in. You can't keep it bottled up. You gotta talk to somebody. And somebody, like I said, you can trust and won't put all your business out there. But yeah, the Sons of Allen Ministry is a great ministry to become a part of, be associated with. And anybody that wants to be a part of it, you know, just reach out to us.
You know, and how can they reach out to you?
My name is Stan Smith. My phone number is 478-365-5074. My email is 6edsonsofallen@hotmail.com.
And they can reach out to you at any point?
Any point, anytime. Anything I can do to help anybody, I will. My phone is always on, except for now because we're doing the podcast and I don't want to be interrupted. But other than that, call me anytime. I get calls 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. That's why I leave my phone on all night because you never know what people are going through. And I don't want to have my phone off and somebody called me that was in need and I missed the call, then that would be on my conscience forever.
Wow. Thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
And thank you for being that one of my one. I have a whole bunch of them, but you're one of them.
Thank you.
Thank you for being one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, man.
Yes, sir. Thank